Mm.
Now, where did you establish your store?
Corner of Boundary Road and Hastings. Mm-hmm. And that's Capitol Hill,
right.
What we call Capitol Hill.
Boundary Road and Hastings?
No, no. Ellesmere Avenue and Hastings. I said that, didn't I? Right.
You said Boundary.
No.
It's Ellesmere.
Ellesmere and Hastings, that's right. Right. That's what they call the Capitol Hill District. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing there then.
This is in 1924?
In 1924. There was only very few houses and no, hardly any roads. Plank Road, Hastings was planked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Planked Road from Boundary Road right out to Spurling Avenue. And then they got the streetcar coming from Boundary Road then, which we call the Tunaville Trolley.
What year was that?
That was, not too long after. I've got some pictures, I told you, those photographs. I'll let you have them too. And,
Excuse me. Yeah. You go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I've got kind of a physical picture of the area.
Yeah.
Your customers, what type of customers? What are the people up there doing?
Just working people with the lunch pail, going to town, going to the foundries, and going to a place called 2 miles beyond that, on the way to Port Moody. That was a place called Barnett. That was a mill there, run by an East Indian family, Kapoors. And they're kind of interesting people too there. By the way, the two girls are in town now, and they were doctors put through the university, and doctors, and Kapoor, of course, was a millionaire, multimillionaire, and he went back to India and built 2 large hospitals, which the girls ran, and with staff, and now they're back in Vancouver, and they're looking for an island where they can build a hospital. That's a little bit of news that we know. So, because I know about the deal through the real estate. So I'm glad to see them back here again.
Mm-hmm.
They're good family people, good people.
Your store was more than just a center for people to buy their groceries at. Can you describe its position
only,
in the community?
It was only 25-foot square. That's all it was. So it's a small place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I should go into how I started it.
Yes.
I didn't have any money. Just come back to overseas and that little bit of money had gone, you know. And so I used to go down at the sales, Woodward's sales, and pick up any buys in like canned pork and beans and toilet paper and breakfast foods or one thing or another. And we had the shelf and put up. And for about 4 months, I guess, I'd go down and stock the shelves from there because it's cheaper than wholesales. Woodward sold, you see. And my first take was $15. That's the first day I took. That's the cash come in. So it shows you there was nobody out there, you see. And soon that went, you know. Then I had to go to Kelly Douglas, you see, and deal with them. And I got picking up this and picking up that. Finally, I got into a nice business. I was there since 1945. We quit in 1945, so from 24, you see. So we're there number 8. So it was funny how you started a business. I was telling you about, we were the only telephone, I wouldn't say the only telephone, that'd be a little far-fetched, I wouldn't know that, but we were the only pay telephone that was there, and it was installed in our store, and people never had phones, the people we knew didn't have them, and they'd come to the store at all times of the night and wake us up to use the phone. And That was a service that was there. And we were always, we strictly, ever since we started, we opened at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's right, close it down. Just push it to shut. That's good. 9 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock the next morning, because we're down on Ellesmere Avenue in Hastings, and most of the people lived right on top of the hill, but the lots were cheap, you know, and now they're most expensive. And they could say to their son, go down and get some eggs, or go down and get some milk, or go down and get a loaf of bread. And they don't even see if we're open or not, but they knew that Harry will be open. Harry's Corner it was. Mm-hmm. Harry's Corner. He will be open, and we never got away from it. 9 to 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm.
Your store was also at the end of the...
End of the car line.
End of the Tunaville
trolley. That's right. Yeah. And people went, got off there. Most people that had to go further east, that's to where the university is now, they lived up there. That's what they call Scenic Heights. Mm-hmm. Scenic Heights, you see, that was then. And lots of the people lived up there. And they'd get off the streetcar, and you see them having to walk for, oh, I guess the top of Scenic Heights where the university is. That's quite a long way, isn't it?
Were there many houses on top there?
Not many, no.
But a few?
No, you couldn't visualize how many there was. There wasn't any, you might say. You know, there's the odd one, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too many houses up there. Population was very low. And we were under the police, the what they call the Burnaby Police then. There wasn't RCMPs then. It was Burnaby Police, mm-hmm. run by the municipality.
By 1929, then, your business would have been fairly well established, or established?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. 29, fairly good. Then come the crash, you know, the hungry 30s.
The impact of the Depression must have been something very visible to you in terms of your sales declining and...
Well, nobody was working. There wasn't anybody working there.
When did you really see it?
The only people that were working there were CPR men. And we used to look up, you know, we'd look at them as top brass. You know, fella goes to work, he's all right. He takes his lunch pail and gets on the tuna little trolley and goes to work and comes back. He's got a wage coming in. But the wages those days were pitiful. They were only very, very low, 25 cents an hour, 35 cents an hour for top mill work. So, mind your things were cheaper too. You could buy everything so cheap. So it had to be.
When did the impact of the Depression really hit you, though?
1930? Yeah, right away.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what would have been an average day's take before the Depression hit, and then after?
Yes. I would say we... I don't know where those books are. I kept them just for souvenirs, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kept a whole bunch of customers' books. And the customers' books that day, so I said, customers' book, I could carry them like that. They'd only be about... I'd only have on the books maybe about 50 or 60 customers. So it's not much, is it? So, and we always, we never lost a nickel of all the years we were there, because I was strict in this way. If you worked at the mill, you only had a wage coming in every 2 weeks of maybe $28 or $32, something like that. Well, I'd give you half of that credit. But if you didn't pay, you never got any more credit. And I only stood to lose half. I never lost it, because they usually pay. Working people do pay their bills, more so than other people. I could tell you some of the top brass that I had as customers that didn't pay their bills, but took advantage of their station in life, you know, to say, oh, well, he won't do anything to me. But I never lost any money. I don't think I lost, in all the years I was there, I don't believe I lost $1,000 in bad accounts. So it was a pretty good business.